We're speaking with composer Anaya Lockwood about her recording, A Sound Map of the Hudson River, on the Lovely Music label. She's told us about the inspiration and motivations for this oral journey from the Hudson's source to its mouth, about a related exhibition, and some of her favorite parts of the recording. To learn more about anything you hear on this program, visit us at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Coming up on the Hudson River, the Eco Calendar, our own attempts at recording the river, and more. Next, we'll continue with our interview of Lockwood, beginning with discussion of her River Archive project, which envisioned the recording of all of the world's rivers.
I had started the River Archive in the mid-60s, of which the declared aim was to include recordings of all the world's rivers and springs, and creeks, obviously impossible. But I was working in cities in London and New York in which there were major rivers which I felt people perceived visually but not orally, and moreover perceived as an almost static part of the landscape, something well under control, something posing no threat of instability to people's environment. But I'm used to thinking of rivers as a force, tremendous energy latent in their flow, and at times it's not so latent, and something to be cautious with, and something powerful and wonderful. New Zealand mountain rivers are really powerful, and before you cross one, you constantly have to look upstream and keep your eye on what the cloud formations are upstream, and trying to guess at whether there's going to be a sudden, you know, flush of water down the river when you're halfway across and carry you away or not, and people rope up and so on. I mean, you really take care with rivers. And New Yorkers, I think, for example, look at the Hudson and the East River and so on as these lovely waterscapes, and are interested in traffic going up and down, but not much more perception of the river than that. And so I wanted to bring to them not only the river's sounds as refreshment for the body, but also some sense of rivers as a force, and decided to talk with people up and down river who've had direct physical experience, direct bodily experience of the strength of the river, and did a series of interviews with people ranging from an Adirondack ranger who was hilarious and wonderful, and a North Country judge, and a farmer up above Troy who recalled when Indians would ford the river just near his farm, a very elderly man when I talked to him, and a river pilot who worked the lower reaches of the river, all of whom had experienced the river's power.
The ice was jammed under the bridge there, and it was backed up for miles up the river. From where we were down there, a mile below that bridge there, we started to hear this noise. Just this rumble. It was just like thunder. And all at once, here comes this wall right down the stream in these great huge ice pans and cakes as big as this room, you know, and 3 or 4 feet thick. And it was the most eerie thing that I ever heard in my life. It just make your hair raise right on the back of your neck.
You could hear those interviews on headphones, that special little station distributed around a gallery space with the main sounds of the river coming through the speakers in the background.
What was the environment of the room like, in terms of the installation?
It's been shown 15 times in different spaces by now, but the original installation, for example, was ideal. It was amazing. The museum in Yonkers has a major space which with a huge glass wall which fronts the Palisades. And so they put it in there. I think we only used 2 loudspeakers, but positioned them so the sound just filled the space, and the sound map on the wall opposite the window, and while you were listening you could just gaze out at the Palisades across the river and watch river traffic going up and down. And it's been shown in lots of different sorts of spaces ever since. The full installation is 2 hours long. There's this big scrolled map just hung on the wall, and the time within the 2-hour cycle at which each segment begins, each stretch of the river begins, is noted on the map, and also the time and date and when I recorded it. And there's a clock above the map, simple black and white clock. And you can check with the clock against the map. And if you have a particular stretch of river that you love and you're waiting for it to come up, you can figure out what time it's going to start playing and know where you are, essentially.
I mean, it certainly makes sense as a contextual work.
Well, one of the reasons I started recording water is because the texture of the sounds which moving water produces can be very complex indeed and multi-layered. And I wanted to induce people to focus on that texture and move beyond hearing a sound and thinking, ah, stream, or ah, river, or rapids, to hearing a sound and finding its little component rhythms and how the rhythmic interplay of one layer and with another runs and the different concealed tones inside the sound. I wanted people to really get inside the sound.
We've been speaking with composer Anaya Lockwood about her exhibition and recording, A Sound Map of the Hudson River, on the Lovely Music label. To learn more, visit us at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu.
From the Almanac, May 22, 1996, Cheviot, Hudson River Mile 105. We were sitting in our research boat, tending our nets just after midnight. The calm and quiet of the river, the air, the night, enveloped us all. And what a gorgeous night it was! The waning crescent moon was all but lost in the black sky. There was very little washing out, since this reach of the Hudson has minimal background light. The Milky Way was right there, bending over our heads in the plane of the ecliptic. At 12:45 a.m., a huge fireball streaked from right over our heads toward the eastern horizon. All of us saw the meteor since we happened to be looking in that direction. Spawning American shad and carp were raising a ruckus on the flats off to the east. A spectacular sky show. The stars, the constellations, the moon, the Milky Way. A cathedral in the sky. This observation was contributed by Ray Arms with Chris and Tom Lake. I'm Batsheva Gez.
The Hudson River Almanac is an annual natural history journal compiled from the contributions of over 1,700 volunteers. Links on how to contribute materials or obtain copies are at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu.
Time for the Hudson River Eco Calendar. I'm Jen Logan. The Hudson Riverama is a new permanent exhibition at the Hudson River Museum in Yonkers. The 2,500-square-foot installation features recreations of forest, marsh, and estuary ecosystems, live fish, interactive computers, videos, and a 31-foot-long, three-dimensional topographic model of the river valley. For more information, call 914-963-4550. That's 914-963-4550. But if you feel like actually getting out on the river, the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve is sponsoring a series of canoe trips to some of the river's biggest marshes in New York State. These include Stockport Flats, Iona Island, nestled at the base of Bear Mountain in Rockland County, Tivoli Bay, and extensive marshes in Dutchess County. Trips are free and open to the public, though reservations are required. And you needn't have your own boat, as canoes, paddles, and safety gear are all provided. For more information, call the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve at 845-758-7016. That's 845-758-7016. And speaking of boats, here's the big festival behind Sloop Clearwater, the Hudson's most famous sailing ship and the brainchild of Pete Seeger. Clearwater's Great Hudson River Revival, a riverfront music and environmental festival for all ages at Croton Point Park in Westchester County, New York, takes place on Saturday and Sunday, June 21st and 22nd, from 10 a.m. until dusk. The Clearwater Festival is a wide-ranging feast for the ear and eye on 7 stages, which are completely powered by sustainable energy. Performers are set to include Marshall Crenshaw, Mose Allison Quartet, Alvin Youngblood Hart, the Tony Trischka Band, and dozens more. There's also participatory dancing and juggling, storytellers, crafts, and food. For more information, call 1-800-67-SLOOP. That's 1-800-67-SLOOP.
Next week, we accompany a leg of the Great Hudson River paddle an annual kayak voyage from Albany to New York City. And we talked to folk singers Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson about a traditional song, Hudson River Steamboat, and what it evokes. All this and more on the Hudson River. Inspired by Anaya Lockwood's Hudson River recordings, Sean Anderson and I tried our hand at capturing the many sounds in one tiny cove we came upon at Norrie State Park in Stattsburg. A mere 30 feet across, the cove held dozens of different sounds, depending on where the microphone was placed. Here, we present three as an audio montage. First, a close-up of the stone beach at the waterline. Then, in the water, against a cliff. And last, inside a cleft of rocks in the shallows off the cliff. The Hudson River Radio program is produced in association with Vassar College, its Environmental Studies program, and its Journalism Forum. Our student assistant producers are digital editor Sean Anderson and researcher and editor Batsheva Gez. Vassar College professor Randy Cornelius is the project director. I'm your host, Mark Breslov, producer and project manager. This project has been funded in part by a grant from the New York State Environmental Protection Fund through the Hudson River Estuary Program. Special thanks to Fran Dunwell and Steve Stan of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Additional support for this program comes from Vassar College, with thanks to Susan Kuiper. Thanks also to Steve Rath. To listen to this program again or for more information, visit www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Email us at hudsonriver@vassar.edu.
Hudson River sloop, sailing on the river today. This is the first time in a century or so. A symbol of the time when the water was pure and clean. That's the way it was. We've got to learn to love our river again. We've got to learn to treat our river like a friend. And if we don't, it will soon be the end. We've got to learn. Love our river again. Now the Hudson River sloop sailing on the river this week to welcome her. Let's turn the whole town out. Well, I've seen everything in the river, from abandoned cars to no one. If
work together, we could make life better for us all. We've got to learn to love our river again. We've got to learn.